We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Sooner Sports Podcast, your all-access pass to Sooner Sports. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Allstate. Are you in good hands? And by Riverwind Resort. Riverwind Resort, the place to be.
Oh, mama, what a play!
Welcome back, everybody, into another edition of the Sooner Sports Podcast on this OU Women's Wednesday. Jess and Meg style. Alongside Meg McDonald, I am Jessica Cootie, and we have a huge, massive, epic episode coming
up. Let's go.
We are so excited as this week would have been the Women's College World Series. We all would have been headed up, taking that 132A exit, what we assume would be another appearance for Oklahoma softball. They have become basically a mainstay up in OKC. And so we wanted to take a little trip down memory lane and shine the spotlight on Oklahoma softball, the dynasty that is Oklahoma softball. So two fun interviews coming up for you. Some epic, like I mentioned, epic guests today.
So first we'll start out with Sydney Romero, and then Jess, you'll just do a solo interview with Shannon Sale. But first, we're going into the record book for Sid Romero. She finished her Sooner career as the OU career leader in at-bats and doubles and tied for first with 13 sac flies. She ranks second in OU career history in hits, extra base hits, and total bases. She also ranked third in games played, fourth in RBIs, fifth in batting average, runs scored, and homers, sixth in assists, and seventh in slugging percentage. Jess, she's the GOAT, man.
I mean, basically every statistics that's not pitching, Sid Romero is in the record books for. All-American, I mean, and you think about what her senior class was able to do. You know, it kind of started a few years ago where Coach Gasso, you know, was saying the most decorated class in Oklahoma softball history, and it goes on and on. Well, this is the most decorated class. You think about what they were able to do, back-to-back national championships. They made it to the Sunday as juniors of the Women's College World Series. And then last year, as seniors, finished as national runner-ups. I mean, every year going to OKC and then two national titles to go along with that, I mean, not many people, if any, can say that they've been able to do that in any career, in any sport, what they were able to do as Sooners. So, I'd be just – unbelievable, the legacy, the mark that they made, not just on Oklahoma softball, but on college softball and the sport of softball.
Okay, so right after Sid Romero, we'll have Shannon Sale on, a senior pitcher for Oklahoma. We'll go back to last season. She made 30 appearances in the circle with 10 starts, ranked second nationally in hits allowed per 7 innings. She also threw a 7-inning complete game at Oklahoma State, striking out 9 batters. She combined a perfect game in OU's NCAA regional opener versus UMBC. She had 120 strikeouts last season with a full season. Now, this season, how many times can I say season? This year, 2020, she had 90 strikeouts. So it just goes to show she was poised to have a big time year, Jess.
Yeah, and I think as it's come out, you know, with the injury to G. Juarez, you know, Shannon had to step into a bigger role in the Circle for Oklahoma. And I think just between, you know, after transferring and the way that, you know, figuring out this program and, again, competing on this level and, you know, this will pay dividends for her. I think, you know, you basically get to push a reset button on your senior season, whereas, you know, even though it was cut short and that's devastating, I think Shannon is looking at the positive of it, of being able to have one more fall season, one more preseason to, again, work on her craft and figure out, again, being part of this program and being in a leadership role and kind of, you know, performing on the highest stages. And so I think we'll see big things to come from Shannon. We already had seen kind of, you know, how things are kind of starting to gel and work for her this past spring before everything got cut short. But I think I'm excited to see what she's able to do moving forward now as she approaches what will be for sure her final season with Oklahoma softball. So let's get to it. Up first, All-American Sydney Romero, followed by current Oklahoma pitcher Shannon Sale here on the Sooner Sports Podcast.
The Sooner Sports Podcast is brought to you in part by AT&T, America's best network. Academy Sports and Outdoors, the preferred sporting goods retailer of Oklahoma athletics. And Metroplex Electric, we can be your electrician. And the Oklahoma Blood Institute. Blood can't wait. Go to an Oklahoma Blood Institute donor center today to save a life.
All right, and we welcome in Sydney Romero into the podcast. Sid, what has been going on? What's life been like? You're in Cali, and it's still on lockdown up there, right?
Yeah, so we're pretty much just stuck at home, but it's kind of nice to be with my family. This is honestly the longest I've been home out of my 5 years being gone, so it's kind of been nice to be with them because I'm normally home for a short amount of time, so this has kind of been really nice for me.
Have you been able to play softball at all? Have you been able to play softball at all?
No. I mean, I've been able to train here at home, do things on my own, like hitting a net or play catch with my siblings, but everything here is pretty much closed. I do plan on in the next few weeks trying to go find a facility or, you know, an old travel ball coach or something, but we're still working on some things here.
Yeah, I feel like softball and baseball are kind of one of those sports where, I mean, it's kind of tough to go. You can't just go hit home runs in your backyard, you know, or like go ham out in your backyard, right? So like, what do you do? Is it more like making sure that you're keeping yourself fit and strong? And what is it? How do you manage during this time?
Yeah, so I've been doing workouts pretty much every day, if not a few times a week. And I've been doing hitting in our backyard just off a tee into a net. That's one of my favorite things to do. So I think it benefits me and it really kind of doesn't leave me feeling that I'm not ready. But also my little sister, we've been going down to the field. We have a field here in our community and she's been hitting me ground balls, slapping to me. So that's been nice.
So we did want to get into the Women's College World Series coming up here pretty soon. Going back to your freshman season, everyone branded it as the rebuild year, right? But you were just coming in. Did you know that was the expectation, or how much did you know about that expectation?
I mean, I knew we were coming in to fill some big shoes with Lauren Chamberlain, Shelby Penley, and I just remember that's all I heard was rebuilding year, and our class just seemed so like, whatever that means, like we have no idea. So it was just kind of like, we're just going to come in and play. And I think our class did a really good job and our upperclassmen just teaching us, like, who cares what anyone says? Like, you guys are coming in. You guys are going to do big things. And it was just more of allowing us to just play the game without kind of hearing outsiders' views on us. So I think that really helped us. And our upperclassmen was just phenomenal.
Yeah, so we wanted to have Sid on. We're going to have a current player as well, but talking about the World Series, because this would have been the week that Oklahoma City would have been flooded with softball fans. So what is it like your first, you were fortunate enough, not a lot of people can say, to play all 4 years that you played there,
But your first time going as a freshman, take me back to that and what that was. Was it overwhelming? What the atmosphere was like for you?
So I was there a few times before my freshman year watching my older sister play there. So I kind of had like an idea of like the atmosphere and all that stuff. I just wasn't playing on the field yet. But the fact that I was there and playing, it was so cool. I remember stepping onto the field and you honestly have to just like sit there for a second and look around and realize like this is the biggest stage you're ever going to play on in softball. Like this is the biggest stage, even in the professional league. Like college softball is still bigger and you still have more fans like watching you. So for me, I love that environment and I just love playing in front of people. So for me, that was really cool and I really enjoyed doing that.
It's got to be different though too between being a player, like what has your sister said about it maybe compared? I know it's still special as a softball player, but being an Oklahoma softball player as opposed to being a Michigan softball player, even though it's still crazy, there's still fans, but it's different, right?
Yes, completely. It's basically a home game for us. You can ask, I've asked all of my friends that I've played there. My friend Amanda Lorenz, who's on Florida, she was like, it's crazy. Like even when we're not even playing against you guys, there's still so many Oklahoma fans just like watching. So she was like, every time it just feels like you guys basically have the advantage, which I can agree to. I mean, we're in Oklahoma, we're playing in our home state. And just the fact that we're able to play in front of our own fans is just even better.
So you did play against your sister in that postseason, your freshman season. What was the group text like in the Romero family? Was there smack talk before or after? What was that like?
I don't recall any smack talk, but I do remember going back and watching the game. And I remember I hit a home run off of Michigan. And my dad was like, oh my gosh, like they had him on video. Like, what the heck? Like he didn't know what to do. My parents kept switching sides and they kept going back and forth when like I was up to. So it was just really funny. And then it was just funny during the game because I remember just talking to Sierra and just messing around. And I don't know, it was kind of cool, but it was also really sad because it was her senior year. So the thought of me, my team, like kind of pushing her in the loser's bracket, I kind of felt bad, but then I didn't because I wanted to win. So that's just in both of us, but yeah.
Is it still a sore subject today or do you let her know about it?
Oh, I let her know. We still talk about it and I mean she'll tell me it all the time. I mean she completely has 10 times more accolades than me, but she would tell me like, hey, I'd rather win two national championships, and I completely would too, so I don't even care.
That's awesome. So that year you guys go into, at what point did you guys think we can win this whole thing? Like, it's one thing to get there when people didn't even think you were going to get there, but then to go on and win it, at what point were you like, okay, we can actually win this?
Yeah, so I think our turning point, I would say, was Palm Springs and Fullerton. I remember we had some, like, minor injuries with some people and pitchers, and I just remember, like, we flipped a switch there our freshman year, and it was just so cool to see because before that, it was like, oh, man, like, we're not going to be very good. And then after that, I don't know, everyone just looked forward to watching us play and we looked forward to playing all the time and we just felt truly unstoppable.
Heading into your sophomore season as a reigning national champion, how did the mindset shift from being the hunter to the huntee? Like everyone's out to beat you now. They're going to give you your absolute best. So what was that like in terms of just your mindset?
Yeah, I mean, I think our team played best when we were known as the underdogs. And just being Oklahoma and being in the Big 12 specifically, you're known as underdogs because you're not in the SEC or PAC. I mean, that's what everyone looks for in the softball world. And don't get me wrong, they're great conferences. But the fact that we were Big 12 and we were just Oklahoma, I mean, I don't know, you just have a target on your back every time. And just to know you were the underdog is just kind of a way to just prove everyone wrong. And I just felt like we lived by that. And just being an underdog was something we truly, I mean, that's what inspired us, honestly, and motivated us.
Yeah, I remember, because I went with you guys out to Puerto Vallarta that year, and I remember talking to you guys and, you know, talking about how that year before you were no one expected you to do anything, but you guys, it was important for you guys to keep that same mindset. Did you do that throughout all 4 years that, hey, we still have to prove ourselves? Like, is it that? And then you go on and win two and you go back again and again. Did it remain that same mindset? And how do you do it when it's like, obviously you guys have won two national titles?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just a matter of just having the chip on your shoulder. I mean, at least I did my 4 years. I always wanted to be better.
Sorry.
I always wanted to be better than I was the year before. And I think that just motivated myself and my teammates. And I just felt like that whole, like my freshman and sophomore year up into my senior year, like we all held each other accountable and to a really high standard. So that really pushed us.
Okay, can we keep that sneeze on the podcast, Jess?
I couldn't stop it. I tried to lean over and then it was.
You should have muted yourself for a second.
I couldn't think of that fast. Oh, it came on like a really fast.
Moving forward, after your sophomore season, you go back to back. Did you feel pressure to repeat?
Repeat.
I don't necessarily remember pressure, but I remember it always being the topic in any interview or just any conversation you would have with a fan. It was always like, oh, like you guys gonna repeat again? And it almost got annoying because we were just like, no, like that's not our goal. Like, I mean, our goal is to obviously win a national championship, but it's never to like do what we did last year. Like to, I don't know, we just always had the mindset of each year's different. And just our goal was to just, you know, continue to grow as a team and continue to be better. And that always led us to a national championship. So I wouldn't say necessarily like changing much, but I don't know. I just felt like our team did a really good job of handling that pressure. If you say, I don't even know what to call it because I can't even explain it. But yeah, I think we did a really good job of just dealing with just other people's comments about it and stuff.
Okay. Compare and contrast the two feelings between the first national championship and the second one.
Okay. So the first one, I was just in complete shock. Like I was literally like, how did we do this? Like from all the talk from everyone, I mean, it was just so cool because like I said, we just proved everyone wrong. So I was more shocked and just like, wow, like this really happened. Because that team came so far from, I mean, I know rankings don't matter, but like from being ranked so low to like coming out as the number one team. So I think that was just really cool. And my second year, I have a funny story about this. So we played at Auburn and I was up to bat and someone yelled from the stands. We were ranked like 10 this season, I believe. And we had to go to a super regionals. So we didn't host our own and we beat them at Auburn. So I'm up to bat and a fan yells out right when I take my swing, "You're not your sister." And I was like, are you kidding me? I like, that is something that sticks with me every single time. So I got a double that at bat. And I remember sliding into second, like I was like looking around, like trying to find that fan. I just remember seeing my mom was in the stands and I was like, oh, I hope my mom didn't hear that. Like she would lose her mind and she definitely heard it. But so after we won, this is where I'm going to with this. So after we won my sophomore year, I remember tweeting, ridiculous me, but I tweeted after we won, just like proud, obviously. And then I put like dot, dot, dot into that fan. "You're right. I'm not my sister." And it was like the best thing ever. It was just so funny.
That's awesome.
I love hearing about fan stories. So I just watched the roundtable that just went out a month or two ago. And Jess, you did a great job interviewing everyone. And Grant did a great job with as a producer, but fan stories are the best. And Lauren Chamberlain was talking about Sooner fans will let you know when you make an error and it's not okay.
Absolutely. I agree.
How much did that fuel you as a team? Like, oh, it's not even just the away team, the away fans that are chirping me. Like some of these Sooner fans are chirping me at my home course, home game.
They just have high expectations and they know their softball, bottom line.
Sometimes, I mean, I feel like they're the ones playing for us, but, you know, I'll be in the on deck circle and they'll like tell me like just to swing, just make sure you swing at strikes, and I'm like, yes, you got it. Like, but it's funny because I mean they've been around for so long supporting us, so I mean you can't really think negative about it. It's just how our fans are, and it's just something, you know, that we hear, and I mean I don't mind it. It's funny at times, and it's just kind of funny even more hearing them kind of say it to the opponents. But yeah, we love our fans.
I think it's special just because not everybody has a fan base like that that's so knowledgeable. And I mean, what fan base can have those kind of expectations? But on the flip side of that, they expect that, but then they also support you like none other. Like, your fan base is literally unlike, I think, any other fan base at the University of Oklahoma.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's funny because sometimes Coach Gasso will call a sign, and I'll see it from the dugout, and then I'll hear someone in the stand saying, like, oh, like, she just gave hit and run. And I'm like, how did you know that? Like, do you have our card? Do you have our signal card? But, I mean, that's just them, I guess, knowing how Coach Gasso coaches, or just taking a really good guess. But it's funny hearing when they say the same exact sign that Coach Gasso gave.
The diehard fans, man, they are out. That's for sure.
Yep.
Okay, you've talked a little bit about your sister and about, you know, the comparisons. And already going into it as a freshman year, they had started. How did you manage that for 4 years, being that she did come before you and did have such a great career? I think, I mean, you ended up, again, like you said, doing your own thing and doing your own path. And like she said, she'd gladly trade it. But internally, how do you deal with that? Especially like coming in as a freshman thinking, I've got to match my sister, because that's what everybody expects me to do.
Yeah, I just remember, like I said, my freshman year, that was the topic all the time. Was just like any interview that I did, it was always, so your sister Sierra Romero, blah blah blah. For me, I thought it was so cool, like at the time, because I'm like, that's my sister, like I've always grown up, like she was my biggest role model, so it didn't affect me much. But now that I look back at it, I'm like, wow, I got asked that question all the time. Like any interview that anyone wanted with me had nothing to do with me. It was about my sister. And at the time I was honestly like proud and all that. But now that I look back at it, I'm still proud. But I'm like, wow, they really wanted nothing to know. Like they wanted to know nothing about me. But I don't know. I grew up, I mean, always working with her, always watching her. And even through her college career, I was always at her games during postseason. So I just felt like I was her biggest fan. And I wanted her to do so well her senior year, which she did. And she broke so many records. So I mean, how could I not be proud? So
in those two championships that you won, I think it's so cool to hear from all of the alumni that keep up and watch close to every single game that you guys actually play. What was it like hearing from some of the alumni about how proud they were to watch this team? Like, so many people were invested, whether you really realize it or not, you're kind of in this bubble of, it's my team, we're out here to win, these are my best friends. But it meant so much to so many different people.
Yeah, I think the coolest part is, I mean, you have so many people from the outside who look at OU softball, I mean, at least at our years, and we're thinking like, oh, they're not going to be good this year. But you have our alumni who knows Oklahoma softball and knows like how we work and knows Coach Gasso. So it's like, they get it. Like they know, like if we're struggling in the beginning, like they know we're going to get better eventually. And I think that's the coolest part, is because our alumni, they just never doubt our ability. And I think that's just something OU softball is known for. I mean, we never doubt Coach Gasso, especially no one on the coaching staff. So there's never a question on if we're going to be good or not.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I mean, Lauren and Kaylani during that roundtable we were talking about, and well, everybody there had won a national championship, but just talking about how, you know, people don't realize how hard it is. As much as OU has won and been to the World Series, it's not easy. It's really, really hard, and it's even harder to win a national championship. I mean, you look what Kaylani and Lauren and them did the year before they won it. They had a heartbreaking loss in the championship series, and then they came back and won it. But as great as those players are, they won one, you know? So I guess looking back now, and I know you guys really wanted to go out winning one as a senior, but how special was it to even get to that stage going out of your career as a Sooner, the championship series?
My senior year?
Yeah, your senior year.
So, I mean, each year, I think everyone's goal is to make it to the World Series, but to win it is just like topping on the cake. And the fact that, I mean, I was there all my 4 years, and competing for a national championship 3 out of my 4 years, I mean, I truly couldn't ask for more other than to win all 4 years. But I don't know. It was just, it was really cool because my senior year was so special, and that group of girls was just incredible. And our freshman class came in and they did a phenomenal job. Lions, Green, like everyone. And I just felt like everyone truly dedicated their season, not only to us seniors, but just as a whole. I mean, our whole 4 years was so special, and that my senior year was probably by far my favorite year, and we didn't even win. So I think that just goes out to Coach Gasso, because she truly, I mean, turned that team around. And when she's invested so much in us, it just makes us want to obviously do more for her. So,
you know, as you enter this next chapter in your life, what are you hoping to learn from Coach Gasso in terms of coaching? Like, obviously you learn a ton from her when you're on the field, you're at bat, but what are you hoping to learn from her as hoping to have more of a role on her staff?
Yeah, so it's completely different being player and coach now with her. I'm more in a professional, like, boundary with her instead of, I mean, as a player, but it's kind of cool because I get to kind of see, like, the insiders of, like, what she does and how she does it, whereas, I mean, she was normally just giving it to us as players and telling us what to do. So now it's almost her, you know, having me make plans and do things to help her. So I think that's the coolest part, is because she's involving me a lot. And I truly appreciate that, because I think it's, I mean, helping me grow up as a person and as a coach. So, and putting me in positions where I'm going to have to be one day. And just learning from her every day is truly special, because I'm learning from someone who's literally a legend in softball. And just the fact that I'm able to work with her every day and, you know, go to practice with her every day and still be able to practice with the team, I think it's pretty cool, and it's fun to have both sides of it.
Why did you want to get into coaching? Is that something that you always wanted to do, or did you kind of make that decision later on in your college career?
Yeah, so I majored in criminology, which has nothing to do with softball. But
were you going to work for, like, CSI or something?
No, I've always wanted to be a detective. That was always in the back of my mind. My mom was a cop, so just, it's still like a backup for me. I basically have it as a backup. But once I got into college and I realized how much, I mean, I love the sport and I love, like, lessons and doing all the things that have to do with, like, helping people. I just really enjoyed it. And being a fifth year this past year was so cool, because I had so much fun being able to work with the infielders and the hitters, and being able to learn from JT more and Coach Gasso, obviously, and honestly, even learning from Rocha. I mean, I helped her with game cards and all that, like, during games and flashing signs, and I thought it was so much fun. But I mean, it's pretty cool, and it's something that I definitely want to do.
How has your relationship changed with Coach Gasso from being a player to having more of a role on her staff? Like, I was a gymnast in college, and I see him 2 times a year, you know, cycling through Norman as Iowa State competes here, and he treats me so differently. Like, after me, to be like, "Man, you want to grab dinner?" I'm like, this is so weird. Like, I still see you as my coach, you know? It's like a forever thing. How does that relationship evolve, I guess?
Yeah, so you definitely get closer. I mean, there's definitely a fine line being a player and, you know, being friends with your coach. I mean, I wouldn't even consider myself friends with her, but I mean, I'll, like, text them and be like, "Hey, going to Starbucks, you guys want something?" Like, it's like that. No, I would never ask them as a player, like, "Hey, on Starbucks." But I mean, it's really cool, because I definitely think I have grown closer to Coach Gasso on a different level than just a player. And I mean, she's always been someone I've gone to for anything, even when I was a player. And now that I'm not a player, I mean, I still go to her for everything, but I wouldn't say it changed much, but I'm able to kind of work with her in a different way than I was if I was a player.
Okay, so I got a couple of quick ones for you. Outside of the winning the 2 national championships, favorite moment at the Women's College World Series stage?
Shay Knighton's home run against UCLA. Oh my God. I just remember sitting at the top of the dugout, and I was like, this is it. Like, this could be it. Like, I was just, like, kind of looking around at the field. I'm like, this could be my last time. Like, staring at this pitcher, like, watching what everything, like, what everyone's doing. And it was so weird because I was trying to take it all in and then obviously cheer on Shay while she's up to bat. And I just remember her, that swing she did, and I was like, no way. Like, she just tied this game up. And that was just incredible. I remember running to home plate with, like, tears in my eyes just because it wasn't over yet. And I remember Shay running into home plate, and we were just, like, so excited for her. And I remember hugging her and just saying, like, dude, like, you just did that. I mean, you guys know Shay. She steps up in all the big moments. So
big play, Shay.
Exactly. That didn't surprise me at all. But just the fact that it was, like, my senior year and her senior year and the fact that she did that, like, it was just so meant to be for her.
Who's the next big play, Shay? Who could be the next big play, Shay?
Good question. I like that.
On OU softball right now?
Yep.
I give it to Kinsey Hansen.
All right. Mark it down.
Mark it down.
What was your biggest superstition when playing?
Okay. I have a few. So I would normally do a ponytail and bubbles in my hair. Three bubbles. And they would look a certain way. But say I didn't get like a hit or two in the game, I'm like, oh my gosh, I would change my hair to a braid. I would braid it. And I would do so good. So I would leave it for the next game. I'm not kidding you. Me and Cece both did this. And we would change it like at the same time without even realizing it. Like sometimes I'll be on defense and I'm like, Cece, like you changed it too? And she's like, yeah. So, but that's something I definitely do. And I kept that throughout the year a lot. And then I remember going to the World Series and me and Cece were like, all right, we got to go back to our bubbles because they look good. And, you know, it's brought us here. So we got to do that. But I would always do two pieces of gum before a game. And then I would switch them out whenever I wasn't feeling right. I just throw it away all mad and then grab another two pieces.
That's funny. Toughest pitcher you ever faced in your college career?
Toughest pitcher. I would say Alexis Osorio from Alabama. That girl had movement. I remember like swinging at a pitch that was way over my head. I have a video. I'll send it to you guys. Cootie, you probably remember it. But
I do remember it.
It was way over my head. Like the catcher had to jump for it. but yeah, she was tough to hit off of. And that was my freshman year.
Okay, so toughest teammate that you faced, and it could be pride too, in practice, toughest practice teammate pitcher.
Okay, Kat Osterman.
Okay, toughest Sooner teammate now.
Okay, toughest Sooner teammate, oh man. Paige Lowry. Paige Lowry, yep.
I thought it's funny in the roundtable, though, you guys had some fun stories with Paige Parker because the nicest person ever on the planet, but boy, she is a competitor, and she would get mad when you guys would get a hit off of her.
Absolutely. Me and her would go at it, too, because, I mean, I loved hitting off of her, and she loved pitching to me. So it was like, it was just always us going at it, and it's so funny now that, because we can talk about it now, but one time in practice... I was hitting off of her and I hit a changeup of hers. I don't know how I hit it. I just hit it hard. And she was like, Sid, were you sitting that? I was like, no, just to make her mad. And she was like, how'd you hit that? I'm like, huh. Like I would just do it to get under her skin. But it's just funny looking back on it now.
Well, even in the round table, Lauren like prefaced this entire thing that she was like, she loved to bake. You know, and she was just so, like, that was the trait that she started with. She's a big baker, and she was so sweet.
Yep. Yeah. I've so never funny. Seen a more different switch on a person than, I mean, and they say, like, they always talk about that with offensive linemen, right? Like, the Bill Beambo talks about that, like, and a lot of the offensive linemen are the nicest dudes off the field, but the meanest on it. But, like, Paige's switch was unlike anything I've ever seen because literally the sweetest person ever and then the most competitive person ever.
Yeah, like so artsy, loves baking, like her handwriting and like the way she draws, it's crazy. I mean, and then you get her on the field and it's just like a whole nother level, but that's Paige and it works.
All right, Sid, so I got something funny to close it out for you. I'm cleaning out my room currently and I found this. You're a coach now. Break down my stance.
All right, sis, your hands are a little, your elbows are a little too high. But it looks like, hey, you have a smile on your face. It looks like you're about to demolish either the pitcher or the pitch.
Yeah, I think most people know as a basketball player, but my dad made me play softball for 5 years. I sent this to Nicole Mendez, and she said, if that doesn't say I hit dingers, I don't know what does. No, but on a serious note, I wanted to bring that up because we do have a lot of people that listen that have, you know, young daughters or have, maybe even you will have some fans that are listening. Give some tips because you were known for your defense and how great you were on the field. And especially during these times when maybe you can't get up to the field, can you give like some tips of something that these young girls can maybe do to work on to really improve defensively out in the field?
Yeah, for me especially, I mean, I feel like you can do this even when you're older. This is a lot of things that I used to do when I was younger. So right now I've been like throwing balls against the wall and working on footwork, doing short hops to myself with tennis balls or baseballs. But I think right now is a really good time to break down your, I mean, positioning with defense or your footwork and just work on things you used to do growing up. And I don't think you could ever go wrong with relearning things. So I think going back to the basics is really helping me right now. Literally throwing a tennis ball and just playing catch with it, working on my throws with my siblings, hitting them, you know, in their throwing arm. And truthfully, little things, I mean, short hops especially, that is one thing that is huge for me right now. Whether you're throwing it against the wall or having someone throw it to you, that's really going to help you. And I just felt like a lot of that is overlooked sometimes, but it really is a big impact in your game.
Yeah, and it's crazy too because baseball's up while you guys play so many games. A lot of times there isn't time to go back to those basics and really kind of break down and hone your craft in that area, right?
Yeah, I agree. Especially even in practice because you're only allowed so much time with your coaches. I mean, you kind of have to get in and get things done. So kind of doing the basics sometimes is kind of hard to do. But I know for us, we would dedicate at least a day of doing the basics and doing like small drills on defense and then coming out the next day and kind of going at it a different way.
This is my,
right, Meg, any final thoughts?
Yeah, okay. I have one last question. So knowing what you know now, you are a two-time national champion, you play for the Pride, you are returning back to Oklahoma to help out Coach Gasso. What would you tell your 10-year-old self about the ways softball would change your life?
About the way it would change my life. Like kind of saying like what I wish I would have known, mm-hmm. basically.
Okay. Yeah.
I would say stepping out of my comfort zone. I think Cootie knows this really well. My freshman year, I was very shy and very to myself. And I felt like that restricts a lot of people from being who they are and just, I mean, kind of going out there and giving your all. And even growing up, I mean, I played with the same travel ball team growing up, so I was comfortable. So it was just more of a comfort thing and I was able to be that. But I mean, you come into college and you're surrounded by so many different people and you want to fit in, you want to, you know, you want to be liked. And I think, well, this is one of the things I wish I would have done coming in as a freshman is just stepping out of my comfort zone, like right then and there. It took me, I would say, up until my junior year to truly step out of my comfort zone and be my silly self, dancing, like doing all this crazy stuff. But definitely getting out of your comfort zone and just going all out because you don't want to waste an opportunity to do that.
The Sooner Sports Podcast is brought to you in part by OU Extended Campus. Degrees online, on-site, on your schedule. Become the tradition. And Mercy. At Mercy, your life is our life's work. And Chick-fil-A. Even in these uncertain times, your Oklahoma Chick-fil-A restaurants are here to serve you. Dining rooms are closed, but where possible, you can still order from the drive-thru, the Chick-fil-A app, or from DoorDash.
All right, well, super excited to welcome an Oklahoma pitcher, Shannon Sale, into the podcast. Shannon, what's life been like for you? You've been in quarantine. You thought you were going to be playing your senior season. You're not. And you find out you get to come back for it. Kind of what's been the roller coaster of emotions for you?
It has been a roller coaster of emotions. At first, I didn't really know if the NCAA was going to give us a year. And then when they did, I was super excited. And being able to Zoom our teammates like 3 times a week has been pretty awesome. And just getting that relationships, like keeping our relationships close for the next year. And I'm just really excited to go back next year. It's like a different type of hungry to play. I think everyone would feel that on our team.
Yeah, for sure. I'm imagining you're still throwing, right? Are you still getting able to work on your pitching? Who's your catcher?
I've been throwing to, his name's Vinny. He's like a 48-year-old. He was like our JV coach at my high school, and he made a mound for me and my friend Callie. She plays at Tennessee, and he's been catching us like every single day. If I text him like, hey, can you catch me? He's super excited and comes in full gear. And he has been my saving grace.
So shout out Vinny. Yeah.
Shout out to Vinny.
It's crazy because, yeah, shout out Vinny. It's kind of crazy. That's kind of the point of this week, kind of putting a highlight of a spotlight on Oklahoma softball. We would be up in Oklahoma City this week, kind of hopefully chasing you guys around for another Women's College World Series appearance. Have you thought about that at all? Just kind of that this would be another week that you'd be competing on that stage?
Yeah, I think it brings chills thinking about last year and how much we've learned from last year and what I think we would have been able to do this year as a squad. And I think the fact that it didn't happen this year is really exciting for us next year because it gives us that extra time to prepare. And, you know, I love hearing all the smack talk about our team this year because it just fires us up more for next year.
What was that first experience like for you last year? How special was that for you getting to, you know, be on that stage and get the ball in those moments that were so huge and monumental that not everybody will ever get a chance to do?
Well, I think it's something I dreamed about since I was a little girl. And that's a big reason why I came to Oklahoma is to win a national championship. And being in those moments on that stage, in the mound, that moment, it was just, it's like unexplainable because it's something I grew up watching. It's something I wanted to do since I was such a little girl. And the fact that I got to do it, it just seems so surreal. Like the jitters and everything that you feel in that moment is, you can't describe it. Like you just, you go out there and you either do it or you don't.
Yeah. That's awesome. Hey, one thing everybody says about you is you are probably the goofiest person on the team. You have a great personality, huge personality. If you're listening to this and you don't know Shannon very well, if you pull the team, they would probably pull her as the biggest personality. What do you hope to bring to this team in that regard in keeping it light and keeping it fun?
Well, I think softball has just always been fun to me ever since I was a little girl, and I don't want to lose that fun. So being able to be myself on the field, Coach Castle allows me to be myself at a level and then I need to bring it back down, but I also know that. But I enjoy just smiling and cracking jokes on the field because, you know, sometimes situations can get huge, and as long as you're keeping it light and not letting it get too big, I feel like that's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I think that's an important message because I think a lot of people get so caught up and maybe young softball players maybe get caught up and you know, I've talked to Lauren Chamberlain about this, about, you know, not failing. You can't fail, but, you know, softball is a game of failure just like baseball is. So how important has that been for you to kind of remember that this is a game and it does need to be fun? There are some serious moments, obviously, but you do have to remember that it's a fun game.
Mm-hmm. I think if you're not smiling on the field and you're not enjoying what you're doing, like, you're going to have a pretty miserable time because this is like an all day, every day thing for us. And the fact that I get to do it and not have to do it is just what keeps a smile on my face. And the fact that I get to do it with some of my closest friends is even better. And like the fact that we do fail, but as long as, you know, they still love me for me and I still love them for them, I still have the relationships and the sport is still there. And at the end of the day, as long as I am still happy doing what I'm doing, then I'm going to do it for as long as I can.
I've talked to G Wars about this too, but, you know, transferring in and kind of being a part of this Oklahoma lineup, especially the lineup that you guys had last year, that went to the championship series, as a pitcher, what does that do for you guys, knowing that you have the firepower that you do at the plate?
It just lifts a big shoulder, a big boulder off your shoulders, because if I give up a run or I'm not having my best game, I know they're backing me up in the field at the plate. It's just a very big relief knowing that you don't have to do it by yourself. They have your back no matter what. And if something happens, you hear the next minute, like, it's okay, we got you. Like, don't worry about it. And that just allows you to pitch more free. And that has been an amazing transition.
What has it meant to you to, you know, when you made the decision to transfer in and play out your career at Oklahoma, you know, what has it meant to you to be a part of this program and to play for Coach Gasso? Was it everything you hoped for?
Yes. I've always just dreamed of this moment. And then the fact that it even happened, because I never expected something like this to happen to me, because I was playing at a smaller school. I wasn't really recruited out of high school. And the fact that I'm playing at Oklahoma has been amazing. And Coach Gasso, I feel, has brought the like really good sides out of me that I've never known I've had. And she's just allowed me to express myself and allowed me to come into womanhood that I don't think I would have done anywhere else. And she's just been a really huge role model in my life. And I'm happy I have another year with her.
What about being part of the legacy of Oklahoma pitchers? I mean, you want to talk about loaded. You know, it's been such an important part to what this program has done throughout the years is those athletes in the circle.
That's surreal, because I never would have thought I would have gotten to that point in my life. You know, behind Kehlani Ricketts, Paige Parker, Michelle, all of them, it's just – to be in that lineup of those pitchers, and I'm hoping I can leave a legacy like they did, is just, I can't even put into words. Like, it's like a little girl's dream sometimes.
So have you kind of switched over your mindset to now, like, you know, again, like kind of was talking at the beginning, that you were prepared for this to be your final season, and then now here you go, you get to come back and maybe get to redo some things, or you know, it's a clean slate for your senior season. Has your mentally, has it kind of all switched to that? Are you prepared for that? Okay, now this really is my senior season.
Yes, I'm really excited because I actually get to finish my degree next spring as well. So I'm finishing softball and my undergrad, and I'm really excited. It feels like a clean slate. It feels like I have had all this time to think about my failures, my successes, and what I can do better. And I think that is what's the driving force right now. And the fact that our team Zoom meeting calls are going so well and we're learning a lot about each other as a team is going to prepare us next year for what we have to come in the 2021 season.
That's so cool. I love hearing that. Hey, I wanted to ask you about your brother. You're getting to see him before he heads off. He's serving in the Navy. Just what's that like as a sister? How proud are you of him and you know, the service that he's about to serve for this country?
I'm really proud of him. You know, I've grown up with him and only seen him as someone I play kickball with or someone I play wiffle ball with. And the fact that he's flying planes is a little crazy, but I'm really proud of him. And I can express into words how proud he makes me and how he's my biggest fan and I'm his biggest fan. So I'm sure he's gonna miss coming to watch me play next year, but I know he'll be watching in Japan.
Yeah, so pilot in the Navy, for those listening, how much motivation does that provide you, knowing what he's doing, and then, you know, you get to kind of go out on the field, you know, thinking about what he's doing?
It definitely does, because life is bigger than a game. And I mean, his life is flying and in the Navy, and anything can happen at any moment. And I just want to live life to the fullest, because it's more than just a game. People's lives are more than just softball, more than just baseball, more than any sport. So you keep that in the back of your mind, realizing that it's more, is something else out there rather than just softball. It makes it easier to play.
We appreciate his service, and we appreciate your family's sacrifice for letting him go serve our country. So we wish him all the best. And Shannon, we appreciate your time. Lots of fun stuff that we got to talk to you about. We look forward to seeing you back on campus, hopefully soon.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to get back. I hope in the fall. I mean, I know it's going to be a little bit smaller class sizes, but I'm excited to get back. I can't wait.
Sooner fans interested in OU football season tickets for the 2020 season, call or text 405-325-2424 or visit Soonersports.com today for more information. Don't miss a second of the action. Here is What's on Tap, brought to you by OG&E, power at the speed of life. Coming up on our classic game series this week, you can go back and rewind to the 2016 Women's College World Series win over Alabama, as well as the 2018 Big 12 football title game against Texas. Again, that's brought to you by OG&E, power at the speed of life.
All right, so two incredibly fun interviews that we got to do. Like we talked about, it would be World Series week up in OKC. So fun to take a walk down memory lane. We love this time of the year. I think most Sooner fans do. This is one of the most dominant programs, not only at the university, but also in the modern day era, I guess, for softball as well, especially in the last 20 years or so, what Patty Gasso has done with this program. So it's always fun to kind of talk about that and how year in and year out they're continuing to compete for national titles. So lots to take away, and we're excited to see Shannon come back for another year, and excited to see how Sid kind of translates into the coaching world now and the coaching realm of this sport. I think she's going to be an incredible coach.
Yeah, I mean, her interview was awesome. You said she's come so far, which you have to kind of have that vocal leadership as a coach. Now, granted, she's still learning from Patty Gasso, so that's going to be huge in terms of her professional career. But her finding her own voice and being able to figure that out is been really big. But I know I'm excited for next year, you know, the return of 2021, and that will be so awesome. Playing in an expanded and upgraded stadium, I do have this stat that USA Softball Hall of Fame Stadium seated around 2,000 fans in 1999. During last year's Women's College World Series, a record-breaking 78,361 fans attended over the course of the 15-game event, with 9,820 squeezing in for one session alone. So imagine with this brand new stadium, just the looks of it, but also with this global pandemic, people are going to miss softball this year. And I think that's pretty apparent in what's been out on social media and the articles that I've read about the economy, the Oklahoma City economy kind of being hit with the lack of people coming into Oklahoma City and fans coming out of state. I just think 2020 is poised to be a really fun softball postseason up in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and Shannon talked about that. You know, it's kind of given you some perspective of you kind of not necessarily take it for granted, but it makes you even more hungry and driven for when you do get to come back to it, being that you did miss it this past year. And, you know, as an Oklahoman, I grew up in this state. I'm so proud of the way that the World Series is put on every year, how it's grown, how the teams, you know, they love coming to Oklahoma City. It's the atmosphere. And you know, you talk about if it moved, you kind of maybe take the risk of not having the same type of atmosphere. And that's shout out to the people here in Oklahoma, the state, and the way that they've made it a must-see event every year, even for people from out of state that come in every year, that even if their teams don't make it, they still come and watch this event. And, you know, it's such a fun event for people to travel to. And so I think just the way that Oklahoma City has embraced the softball, the sport of softball, and that they welcome in people, and then they, you know, people love to come to Oklahoma City. And then the way that they've supported these women's sports, like, I think it's incredible to see. And like Sid talked about when, you know, Amanda Lorenz is playing, and she said, it doesn't matter, you know, you guys aren't playing, and we're playing in front of a packed house, you know? I mean, you're talking about sold out stadiums and standing room only, and the fact that that's being done year in and year out for women's sports, I think is so incredible. It makes me so proud to be an Oklahoman and so proud to see how this event has continued to be able to maintain, you know, being such a big deal every year for years and years and years. It's been able to stay here, and they've continued to keep up with updating the stadium. They've done whatever it takes to be able to keep it here. And I think that is props to, you know, the All Sports Association, you know, the Hall of Fame, all of the people that are involved that kind of help keep it coming here. And honestly, Sooner fans that come in, that show up in droves year in and year out to make it such an incredible atmosphere. What was your first take of the World Series? You're not from here. You don't, you played at Iowa State. So when you get here and you kind of see the fandom, the craziness of the Women's College World Series, what did you think about it?
Honestly, I had never really seen anything like it. Like, I went with you, I think, was it last year or 2 years ago? And I kind of got to be a fan in some shape or form. Like, I really got to experience what this event was all about. And it is just packed. And, like, it almost felt like an Oklahoma football game. You know, like, the energy you feel on a game day, that's how these softball fans are. Like, they're a blast and a half to be around. I even saw the Washington head coach said Oklahoma City is the Disneyland of softball. And I think that's spot on. Like, it was so cool to see. Now it's hot. Let me tell you, I'm not used to the heat. I normally bounce in the summers, Jess. I can't be in Oklahoma during the summers. I'm weak. I'm too weak for it. It's hot. But the fact that even a Washington, a Pac-12 head coach is saying Oklahoma City is the Disneyland of softball, it's the mecca of softball. It's so good for sports. It's so good for women's sports. Because you don't see that very often. You go to a couple women's basketball games, you know, those powerhouses, you might see that. You might see that in a couple women's gymnastics programs. But as a whole, national championship, you just don't see it in women's sports. And the fact that this game has grown so much in, say, 20 years, like, literally, they went from 2,000 fans in 1999 to 78,000, over 78,000 last year. Talk about growth. And I think it's just starting. I really do. I think it's just starting.
Yeah, and it is a competitive sport at that. You know, so many programs play softball, and then the way that, like you said, it's grown for the Little League that feeds into, you know, being recruits, high school, you know, those kind of all-star teams that you start playing on when you become, you know, in high school and kind of feed it. It's just grown so much that it is a competitive sport too. So you don't want to take away from that, but it is not
every easy. Pitch matters.
It is, you know, not easy inning. To get to Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, you could, some sports maybe, you know, there's not as many teams, or once you get there, it's competitive, but it may be not as hard of a road to get there. It is incredibly difficult to get to Oklahoma City. So I think just, you know, and that credit, like you said, goes to the growth of the sport and how many, that there are so many big time players that are spread out amongst so many different teams and programs. And even look at the Big 12 has really grown. You know, Oklahoma State was at the World Series last year. And that makes it even crazier when you've got Oklahoma and Oklahoma State.
Just a bedlam.
World Series. Yeah. And then, you know, with Texas, the way that they are as well. So I just think the Big 12 is kind of growing as well, and the Big 12 tournament is held up there as well. So at ASA Hall of Fame Stadium. So I just think all of the above, you know, the way that it's grown, it's just such an incredible event. I'm sad that we're missing it, but like you said, it'll make it that much more special when it does return.
Okay, so you asked me kind of my first impression of the Women's College World Series, something I've never experienced. But as someone who's from Oklahoma, you've also covered the Sooners for a handful of years. What is your favorite moment in history of OU softball in the Women's College World Series?
Well, I was in the dugout when Lauren Chamberlain hit the walk-off against Tennessee.
And, were you really?
Yes. And
oh, my gosh. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I wasn't supposed to be. I mean, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be. And so, but being down there, it's just different. Like, you can – I was there, and when they won back-to-back, when the – you know, they won it – with Sid and Shay and Kaylee, CeCe, and them being freshmen. And that moment was incredible. I was in the booth with Chris Plank, got to hear his final call, and then also that next year. But there was just something about being down there on the field in the dugout when that happened with Lauren Chamberlain, and she's become such a dear friend of mine. Like, that's still – and I tell her all the time, regardless of sport, it's still one of my favorite moments that I've ever been able to cover, be a part of all sports. That was unbelievable. It's one of my favorite sporting moments in my entire life. I mean, it is, I will never forget that feeling, that seeing it go over the fence, it was in slow-mo. So actually getting to actually be there and in it, it's just, it was unbelievable.
What did they say to her when she got back in the dugout?
Well, I mean, it took a while.
Can you remember?
They all rushed out onto the field, and
You didn't go with them, Jess? I feel like at that point you're on the team.
I had to stay put. but yeah, I just, it was, you know, them getting back in and the celebration and just, you know, it was such a, there was so much tension, you know, talk about the energy, there was so much tension because it was such a, it was like a slugger, what is it? Like a slug match. It was like a heavyweight slug match that, you know, it was like their pitcher was pitching incredibly and Kehlani Ricketts was pitching incredibly and nobody could hit. And then it was like, it was blow for blow. Then it was like, it was just, they would make a big play, Oklahoma, and then finally comes down and Lauren gives them the win. And, I thought it was awesome when Kehlani was on the round table a couple weeks ago. She said, that was our home run. She's like, I like it was like a team home run because it literally, it took everybody.
Yeah.
To win. You know, Lauren Chamberlain's, you know, made the swing, but that there were so many different people that stepped up throughout that whole run. And, you know, it just, the May tornado had just happened. So the way that they were. So the way that they were able to bring some light and joy to the state of Oklahoma and, you know, the people of Moore. Yeah. It was just, there's so.
That just gave me the chills.
Yeah. So much involved. It was such a great game. And then, you know, for it to come down to that, and I'm getting chills thinking about it too. Yeah. And then to turn right around the next day and Michelle Gascoigne to get to pitch, and Kehlani was all for it. Like, you know, Kehlani had really pitched so much throughout that time. And then, you know, she said it's Michelle's time. And Coach Gasta talks about remembering that, about how Kehlani, you know, really was so excited. And then it was Kehlani that led the team at the plate that to go on to win that game too. So, but you knew that after they won it the way that they did in game one, that they were about to win it. I think that was the feeling. Like, mm-hmm. Didn't really know how that series was going to shake out, if it was going to take three, if they were going to win, you know, how it would all play out. But once they won in that fashion, when Lauren, you know, hit that home run, you knew that it was they were going to win it the next night. I just had no doubt in my mind.
I love that. Okay, last question for you, because we've gone down this whole nostalgic lane, right? But let's talk about 2020. This team, granted, we don't have a Women's College World Series, but what did you like about this 2020 softball team?
Well, I think it's so hard. I mean, I've said this on so many different occasions for so many different sports. You lose a senior class like what they lost the year before. It is so hard to not just, you know, fill that void, but for the people that were playing behind them kind of figure out, because it's their time now and they've got to be the leaders. And, you know, we saw it with, you know, when Buddy Hield and Ryan Spangler and Isaiah Cousins, they had been here, they'd started for 4 years, and then, you know, trying to fill that void. You know, I think they were just kind of starting to figure some things out. And that's Chris Plank and I have talked about this a lot since the season ended. You know, they had taken, had a couple of tough losses, but they were starting to figure some things out. They were young. They had some people in some positions that, in some roles that they had never been in before. But I'm so excited, you know, again, going back to finding the positives of this whole situation. I think this will pay dividends for this team. Shannon talked about how they've continued to stay in touch via Zoom, and they're, you know, really trying to work on getting to know each other as a team and making sure that chemistry is there when they get back. And, you know, I think that, you know, this will allow for them to have a whole another year to figure out how to be in those roles, another year removed without Sidney Romero, Shade Knight, and Folly of You, Kaylee Clifton, that class that was so incredible. And then I think they had some young players that were freshmen. It's always an adjustment period, right, to figure out how it kind of goes in college. So now they've got it figured out, and then they've got an incredible recruiting class coming in. So I think, I mean, they just reload this program. You know, there might be some doubters, and it was the same thing that happened with and we heard Sydney talk about it oh, this will be a rebuilding year. No, Oklahoma softball doesn't rebuild. They reload, and this will be one of those years. They'll continue to reload every year, and they'll continue to make noise and continue to compete to be at Oklahoma City every single year. And I have no doubt that this team this next year will be in the same kind of place that they've continued to be in. It will just be a different team, and it will be a different roster, but they will continue to be at Oklahoma City.
All right, Jess, that's all I got for you. I have to say, I don't really cover OU softball very much, but I'm such a fangirl over this program. Like, watching the roundtable, but you did a great job kind of interviewing everyone, moderating that. I don't know what I was trying to say. No, but, like, it truly makes you a fan of not just the sport of softball, but a fan of this team. You know, like, hearing their stories, it feels like you were a part of it. And, like, quite frankly, you were technically just a part of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I probably covered this team as close as any throughout the years. So I think and the way that they're so supportive of, even once they're, like, Kehlani Ricketts wants this team to win a championship just as badly as she wanted to win one for herself. Mm-hmm. And Lauren Chamberlain wants them to win it. That doesn't happen everywhere. It doesn't. So the fact,
you know, they say championship mindset, it's championship tradition.
Yeah. I mean, it carries on. And the way that they have so much love and support for, even once they want so badly for this program to continue to win, that doesn't happen everywhere. So I think that's credit to Patty Gasso and the culture that she's implemented here, that it just, you pass the torch and you make your mark during your time, and then you support the people that come on and try to carry on that legacy, and you want that. It's important for everybody. So yeah, just an awesome program to get to kind of someone, I guess, be a part of and at least get to cover from the outside looking in. It's definitely been a pleasure to get to do so. So we appreciate Sydney Romero and Shannon Sale joining us. Awesome, fun podcast to get to kind of go back and think about all the fun times in OKC. So we appreciate you guys listening. Again, for Meg McDonald, I'm Jessica Cootie. Meg _ McDonald on Twitter, and I'm at Jessica Cootie. And we'll look forward to another fun episode coming up next week.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.